Now, as you know, Gordon Elliott's licence to train horses has been suspended for 6 months following his disciplinary hearing yesterday. It takes effect from next Tuesday. You know that the committee was convened to probe a photograph which showed the trainer sitting on a dead horse, and the committee found he had acted in a manner which was prejudicial to the integrity, proper conduct and good reputation of racing. He was ordered also to pay costs of €15,000. Now, the judgment stated there was also a sinister aspect to this case, with the committee satisfied that the publication of the photograph was part of a concerted attack upon Mr. Elliott. Gordon Elliott has said he won't be appealing the decision, but it's a remarkable story on so many levels. Obviously, there was the shock of the actual photograph. Then there was this extraordinary amount of coverage on social media, possibly a change in attitude towards Gordon Elliott within the industry as the onslaught on him continued during the week. Then came yesterday's dramatic news of his suspension and the verdict of the disciplinary hearing, that they thought there was a concerted attack on Gordon Elliott. It's all pretty breathtaking stuff. And as I say, we're not going to go back over the rights and wrongs of the photo. That has been debated all week. But we're going to look at some of the other elements surrounding this week in the company of Vincent Hogan of the Irish Independent, Nina Carberry, who, you know, rode out at Gordon Elliott's yard, and Liz Price, correspondent for French racing newspaper Paris Turf. You're all very welcome. Nina, if I could go to you first. Did you sense that maybe the mood in the racing industry towards Gordon Elliott changed from anger initially, that it altered as the onslaught on him continued during the week?
Hi, Des, how are you? I suppose it went from probably public outrage, to which they were entitled to be, to kind of reflection during the week. I suppose when Gordon put his hands up and he kind of took control of the image and said it was him, that he apologises, I suppose people calmed down a bit, that, you know, he was apologetic and he did put his hands up about it, but it didn't make it any right, but at least it probably calmed things down a bit, and he was cooperating with the IHRB as well, so I suppose that's what probably calmed it down. But at the beginning there was a lot of public outrages, and it probably brought our industry into the spotlight for the wrong reasons.
And people who wouldn't know, I mean, you rode out there, so you know the staff, etc.
Yeah,
was that a typical type of thing that would happen in that yard?
No, it's a five-star establishment. It's an unbelievable place to ride out, it's second to none, and that's why I was probably most shocked about it. I couldn't believe it, you know. So, like, it was a moment of madness, I'd say, on Gordon's part, and it was a once-off. So you'd expect that, like, you wouldn't expect that from an establishment like that, and that's why I was so shocked. So, like, but he did apologise, and I suppose we have to try and move on from this for industry.
But it was a one-off. I mean, there was the other video, that was 4 years earlier.
Yeah, I think it was Rob James or something on the video, yeah, but it was not connected to Gordon in any way. But obviously we can't take this type of disrespect to our horses. We love them, and it doesn't happen in our industry, and for these things to pop up on social media is detrimental to our business, our industry.
Liz Price, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us. Liz, what would you say to people who felt, as this story went on, that we were perhaps losing a sense of proportion, that it was a horse, it was a dead horse? What would you say to people who say that? There's a lot of texts coming in who feel that Gordon Elliott paid more than a heavy price through public reaction to him. What do you say to people who are not close to racing?
Hi, Des. Yeah, I have to say, I find it quite shocking how people have reacted on social media, because while there's no doubt that it was hugely disrespectful and horrible, you know, to sit on a dead horse is just, it is a horrible thing. At the same time, there have been much crueler acts to living animals, and which have, you know, not been, I'm not going to say they went unpunished, but, you know, they didn't come into the spotlight like Gordon Elliott did. What I would say to them today is that people do stupid things. They really, really do. I don't think, is it inexcusable? Is it indefensible? Obviously, you know, but at the same time, I would just say that it doesn't stand for the industry. It's these are isolated instances. You know, it's the same. You know, some people treat their dogs badly. It doesn't mean that everyone treats their dogs badly. And I think you just have to, put things into proportion.
So, did you feel the reaction was too much over the top?
Well, I certainly felt that as the days passed, that it was getting milked. I mean, I couldn't believe that in England, the Times published the picture 3 days in a row. I'm sorry, why? You know, why do you, since when do we publish the same picture 3 days in a row? It just seemed unreal, you know. I mean, we in France, we decided at the Pareto not to publish the picture. And
what do you mean about the Times, Liz? Why do you make that point about the Times?
Well, the thing is that it was a very horrible and unfortunate incident, and it got put on Twitter. And as we now know, it was put on Twitter for vindictive or revenge or whatever reasons. We don't know yet. But why does the Times then have to put it in 3 days in a row? You know, the readers in the Times, they will have seen it the first day. Why do they have to see it a second and a third time? And why do we then go into other debates like, you know, the whip? It was just, I felt in the end, it was just used as an excuse to attack our industry.
Mm. Vincent Hogan, you wrote about this during the week, and your view was, you know, is it fair to say you were condemning Gordon Elliott, and you referred to which horse was it that died in Max Joy, the death of Max Joy, yeah, and the pain for Barry Geraghty and how he suffered in that. How do you feel as the week went on, this story was dealt with and how it affected the racing industry?
I suppose the reason I used the Max Joy story was to convey that it wasn't representative, that this picture wasn't representative of the industry generally and the sport generally, because it told how utterly heartbroken Barry Geraghty was that day, Des. You mentioned there that you feel that within the industry there's been a change as the week has gone on, and I agree with you, but I think there's been a change towards Gordon as the week has gone on generally. And I think if you look at a lot of the newspapers today, and inevitably when something like this happens, the comment doesn't just come from within the racing industry itself, it comes from outside. But I think even from outside, there is a real sense that, you know, he has taken a terrible kicking for this. I agree, I see the point Liz is making, that, you know, the horse was dead. There have been worse things that have happened in terms of cruelty. But I think it's what the image conveyed that was really a problem. And it conveyed from an industry in which animal welfare is such a core responsibility, rightly or wrongly, it conveyed an almost cavalier sense of the death of a horse, which I think on every level was just unacceptable. So I think the outrage was merited. How it's carried on through the week has changed a little, I think. But the industry and the major players in the industry, I think, behaved very maturely. They didn't bury their heads in their sand. They realised that this looked shocking, and it still looks shocking. But, you know, I think whatever happened from yesterday's hearing, there's also a sense that Gordon Elliott has suffered enough now. There's an infamy that will attach itself to him, maybe forever, I don't know. You'd hope he can get back to being a successful trainer again. But you're right, the mood has changed a bit as the week has gone on.
And Nina, social media's role in this, how did you view that, and how do you react to the role of social media in it?
Yeah, he definitely got, like, everyone was having a go with Gordon, you know, at the beginning of the week, and it was hard to read, you know, because it is a shocking photo, and you can't defend the photo at all. But some of the things people were saying on social media behind Twitter accounts that they don't even, you know, they don't have their name to, it's hard to take. But that's what we live in now, and that's our that's what social media is, and you just have to put up with it. But I suppose the thing that probably hurt Gordon the most was horses that left him during the week, and that'll be probably the most that'll hurt him, and the suspension that he's after getting from it. And like, obviously it was never meant to be on open social media. It was just a picture that was taken a couple of years ago, but it doesn't make it any more right. But it wasn't meant to be on the Twitter, but it ended up there, and that's what's after happening.
And when you speak of Gordon's hurt and pain, you're not talking about financial hurt and pain.
Well, obviously, that there's going to be a bit of a financial, yeah. Like, there's going to be owners that'll leave him. His sponsors have left him as well. Like, he's got a lot of building to do, and to earn the respect back from people again, which I have no doubt he will. But it's going to take him a while. He's after building a brilliant business for himself, and it's definitely going to hurt a lot.
Liz, can I ask you about the fact that I might be in a syndicate with four others and we have a horse, and then the horse gets injured and we're paying for it and it's not running, and then when it runs it doesn't feature and we can't afford to keep it going, etc. And what happens to those horses?
Well, this is the big subject, and has been a big subject now for several years. In each country, I have to say, it doesn't matter which jurisdiction it is, if it is England, Ireland, France, you know, Germany, the welfare of the horses is very important. And absolutely, what do we do with a racehorse that, you know, gets too old, gets too injured and everything? But we have brilliant, brilliant programs now in place. Everyone is very invested in it to make sure that these horses that are no longer wanted, as you said, can serve other purposes, and they get retrained, and we see them. You know, I mean, if you've been to Cheltenham in the last few years, we've seen all those great horses that have, you know, like the likes of Coulter Star and everything, who then get retrained and find other homes. And obviously, that's what we would do with a horse that gets injured. We would like to find it another home where it can lead a different life.
Yeah, but Coulter Star was very successful. And what about the horse that isn't successful and doesn't earn any money for anybody? It's just costing money.
Yes, but there are so many riding schools and so many people who are looking for horses or who want to have just a hack, you know, because let's face it, when we talk injury, we're talking an injury which can still be treated. Or, you know, some horses also just, we try to find them a place in on a farm or, you know, in a yard, or just to spend their life there. There's a lot of effort going into that. As I said, in every country, we've the movement has been very, very strong over the last few years to secure those homes. But it is obviously always, it's a difficult time. And, you know, and not everyone, we've got to be honest, you know, not everyone puts time and effort into it to find another home for these horses. But there are institutions where you can go to and who will do that for you, who will help you to find that solution for your horse.
Yeah, a lot of texts coming in, I have to say, mainly supporting Gordon Elliott, are feeling that that we kind of lost perspective on it, Vincent Hogan. One saying, A dead child being carried on a magazine, a Turkish policeman carrying a dead child washed up from a boatload of capsized refugees. It didn't get half the reaction the dead horse got. Where are our priorities? Someone else saying the guys in Davies got away with this in the media compared to how the Gordon Elliott was trained. Several people coming up with other stories that they feel should have gotten more prominence. Was it mainstream media overreacting as well, or was it just on social media, in your view?
No, I don't think mainstream media overreacted, and I think that's reflected in how so many very major players in the industry on both sides of the Irish Sea came out and spoke about it. And I see even in the Racing Post today, Des, that the CEO of the BHA, and people here may have a problem with how quickly the BHA reacted, but she has described it as an existential crisis for the sport, which, so, you know, it's the media, the mainstream media didn't create this image. That's what I'd say to you. And when it came out, and I do believe there is something very sinister, something very vindictive going on towards Gordon. And I don't know what the genesis of that is. I'm sure he has a fair sense of who and why is behind it himself. But, you know, I was reading in one paper today, there's even been suggestions of the guards and ambulances being sent to his stables on misinformation. And so this is clearly part of a kind of a harassment of him for whatever reason. But I thought there was a very responsible response from key people in the industry. And what struck me was maybe the best piece I read about it this week was by Lydia Hislop in Sporting Life. And she said one of the reasons that people found the image so offensive was it was reminiscent of big game hunting trophy hunters type of thing, and this complete lack of empathy or respect for the horse. So no, I don't think that mainstream media overreacted. I think there's been a huge balance, as you can see, look right across the board in today's papers. There is a real genuine sympathy for what he's suffered. But, you know, there's no doubt about it that the image was and is deeply, deeply offensive.
OK. There are 80 staff, I read, working in the yard, Nina, and obviously it has huge impact for them as well. But there are reports that Denise Foster could come into the yard for the 6 months as trainer. What's the significance of that in relation to the jobs, etc.?
I'd hope that they can stay in jobs. It's a big industry. It's a big business, and it'd be a shame to see people go. But hopefully, Sneezy can keep people there and keep the ball rolling for everybody to keep them employed, because they are a brilliant team, and it'd be a shame to see them being all split up.
So if Sneezy, as she's known, Denise, if she comes in and takes over for the 6 months, the horses can continue to run as regular.
Yeah, under her name, yeah.
And under her name. And you know the way in other sports, GA, soccer, whatever, sometimes a manager gets suspended and he can't, Vincent, you might address this, he's banned from the pitch side or sometimes from the ground. But we've known in the past that they're watching and on telephone contact, etc. I mean, that's a realistic thing that could happen here, isn't it?
I would have thought so, Des. I mean, you know, the commitment that Gordon gave yesterday was that he won't attend any race meetings or point-to-point meetings. But, you know, how can you possibly, you know, police his involvement in the yard with Denise if Denise takes over and is the licensed trainer in the yard? I don't understand how you can police that anyway. So I would imagine he can still be effectively involved in the yard.
Yeah. Liz, somebody here says, and there was a reference to Vincent from the crisis, BHA, saying racing is facing a crisis, that this isn't the core issue. There are far greater issues than a man sitting on a dead horse. Is that a fair comment?
Well, I think what Vincent was actually alluding to early on with the Lydia Hislop's article, which I agree, is a very, very poignant article and very well written. And she finishes it by saying that, you know, we are afraid, which for our industry, which reflects a little bit the comments of the BHA and the Racing Post as well this morning, you know, when we talk about existential crisis. So I think that that we are at a point where we have to look, we have to have a hard look at ourselves and say, you know, where are we? Where are we going?
Okay. And where are we going in relation to what?
Well, where is the industry? Where does the industry stand? How do we see our sport developing in the future?
Yeah, like drug taking has come up, for instance. Is that an issue?
Absolutely. Yes. It is. You know, I think we have to be very honest. We always talk about transparency. I think this is, you know, our sport has been, that's what we've always been accused of, you know, that we are not transparent, because it lends itself obviously to so much mischief, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
And so I think that we need to be transparent on every single level,
when we hear of a drug story or betting coups or whatever, we don't get the mass condemnation we've got about this. It's like everybody was happy to come out and condemn this, and we don't hear mass condemnation about other issues.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I don't really, I have to say, I don't really know. I find it myself baffling that this image has caused such an outcry. I really do, because as I said, there are so many worse things that happen, you know, where there's obvious cruelty, where there's obvious, and I don't know why it has captured our imagination. Has it anything to do with, you know, the times we're living in at the moment? Is, as Lydia Hislop said, you know, that we are, you know, the afraid of death, and is it that because the horse was dead? I would love to be able to give you an answer to that and say, why did it get so much traction? I don't know. I really don't know. I just hope with all my heart that people can see past this and that we can move on quickly, and that there are no more other images that come out, because I thought it was horrible that there was a video that was of the jockey riding the horse. I mean, you know, what goes on with those people is what I wonder.
Maybe the most sinister thing about all of this, Nina Carberry, is that the disciplinary hearing felt that there was a concerted attack on Gordon Elliott. That's scary stuff.
Well, there was obviously someone who posted the picture on Twitter wanting to do damage to Gordon, and that's what's after ending up. Like, they got a hold of the picture, wherever they got it from, and they put it up. You wouldn't put up something like that unless you wanted to ruin someone's business and public life.
Yeah. Do you find that shocking, Vincent?
No more shocking than the fact that someone would take the picture in the first place, Des. I think, you know, it's inconceivable that, and this is one of the things I said in a piece I wrote during the week, that at that moment where this horse has collapsed and died on your gallop, that you would actually sit and allow someone to take that picture, and or that anyone would have an instinct to take such a picture, is baffling to me, utterly baffling. And it's funny, well, it's not funny, but it's ironic that this story has unfolded this week in tandem with a series that's been on TG4, a Lacra series about horse racing, by Touchline Media. And it's the most beautifully, it's like a beautiful love letter to the sport and to horses in general. And, you know, I was only watching the second programme last night, and to see someone like Istabrak, who's 28 years old now and, you know, retired in 2002, but, you know, just so loved still, so well looked after. And I think that's what was the problem, that it was just what the image conveyed. It is very sinister what's happening, Gordon Elliott, but that's a very separate argument.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people texting in that they feel there's double standards at play here, and that there's far greater issues, including Arab owners, etc., and women's rights, as well as industry issues that needs to be changed.
Yeah, but I would say, Des, that, you know, if there is any positive to come out of this, you have the BHA saying today that they are now paying attention to Sheikh Mohammed, and he's the flat racing's biggest investor. And the UN is obviously trying to find out if his daughter, Princess Latifa, is dead or alive. And this now creates the pressure on a racing industry, flat racing particularly, to say, well, hang on a second, how are our standards right across the board, not just in this particular case?
Yeah, that's what you're saying, Liz. And do you think there are people within the industry who'll be strong enough to look at the broader picture and move on from this? Or will we just move on now and start talking about Cheltenham from next week?
No, I don't think that. I think this incident was far too important to be ignored. I think we will see change, just like we're also seeing change in the diversity in racing and everything. I think, yes, if you want to take one good thing out of it, once something goes onto social media and gets so much traction and goes worldwide, because, I mean, you know, this Gordon Elliott story appeared on German television. Now, the Germans are not, they have a very small racing industry. They hardly, you know, the German Derby hardly makes it onto national TV. It would never make it onto the news. And yet, you know, that picture of Gordon Elliott and on the horse made it into German TV. In France, it was very much talked about, you know. So I think this once it goes so broad on Twitter or social media, you have to react. So I think our sport will react to it. It won't sit on the bench. It won't ignore it. And just because Cheltenham is around the corner, In actual fact, they're probably, you know, there'll be a lot of people afraid of Cheltenham because we all know, let's face it, if anything happens at Cheltenham, God forbid there's a dead horse or something, it will make the media straight away.
Yeah, I suppose.
So there's actually a lot of pressure on it. You know, we all must hope that Cheltenham goes really well, that the horses come back safe and sound. That is our, in my opinion now, is a big fear because we want to take the spotlight off racing at the moment, mm-hmm. is what I feel.
A final point, Nita Carberry. I spoke to some people within racing during the week, and as the week progressed, they were getting more and more concerned about the effects on Gordon Elliott on a personal level and the deep impact on him. Had you concerns for him on that level?
Well, the social media impact of it all was... It wasn't a nice thing at all, but I suppose watching your business starting to crumble and horses being taken away and not very unsure what's going to happen, you know, I suppose this was before Friday and he had nothing in place of what was going to happen and nobody knew what was going to happen. I suppose the uncertainty of it all, but I suppose it was a bit of closure yesterday on what was going to happen, and I suppose as an industry now we must be more aware that we're public eye and we should do everything in our powers to promote and protect our great sport in which we all work in. So I think we all have to try and learn from our mistakes and move on and hopefully we can try and redeem ourselves a bit from what's after happening this week.
Okay, and Vincent Hogan, the final point, given the impact on individuals on social media, and we've heard of tragic stories in the past, do you think in sport we're ever going to reach a point where some story is going to break the back and people are going to say something has to be done about anonymous trolling on social media?
Well, I think we've seen this in English football, for example, and the James McLean situation, Des, where until these platforms take responsibility for putting up faceless opinions, where if you can't be identified, and this is what they're claiming, that some of the most toxic stuff that goes up, they can't identify the individuals, well, then it shouldn't be going up. So I think in terms of social media, the platforms themselves have got to take responsibility, far more responsibility than they're taking at the moment.
OK, well, look, that's a good point on which to finish with another talking point. And as Liz says, lots of talking points for the racing industry and society on a broader level, I think, with the social media story as well. Thank you all very much. It was fascinating chatting to you all. That's Liz Price, Nina Carberry and Vincent Hogan. Thank you for joining us on Saturday Sport.